Good afternoon and happy Friday to you guys. I am so sorry that we had to miss Thirsty Thursday yesterday, but I did tell you guys that I do live in Houston, Texas, and I'm just going to say pray for us. Today will be day 5 of me not having heat nor me having any water. Yesterday was day 4 of not having heat, water, or power. So we finally got power. So, you know, that is a blessing in itself. But yeah, we just don't have any water or heat. And it's not looking too good that we're probably going to have water or heat until probably Monday or Tuesday. So just be thinking about people in Texas. And I know, you know, especially my listeners up north, you know, you looking at us Southerners like, get it together. But yeah, they were not prepared for this. Houston is physically not built for this. Pipes and all. A lot of people have burst pipes. Because really and truly, there was only an inch of snow. That wasn't really what crippled the city. It was the cold temperatures, just freezing the pipes. And then the power, it just was too much. It was overwhelming. For this power grid and what's going on here in Texas. But not to, you know, really dwell on that and bring things down, but just really just be thinking about us, especially, you know, our elderly population that can't get around, can't get out. People who, I mean, really and truly can't take care of pets right now because they don't even have water to feed them, water to give them so they can drink. But just be thinking about us and, yeah, so today we're just going to dive right in and we're going to talk about sports and parents. This is always a big topic. And I love to talk about this topic because I like to look at it from different perspectives. And then we're just going to talk about that. So let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so today we're going to approach this thing from 3 different perspectives because I feel like that's just kind of, you know, as far as this conversation goes, the best way to look at it. So we're going to come from a parent's perspective, the kid's perspective, and a coach's perspective. Now, basically, we can start out, you know, talking about expectations, okay? Parents have many expectations depending on what level you know, their kid is at, whether it's little league, and I'm going to specifically focus on basketball. And the reason why I'm going to specifically focus on basketball is because that's what I do. That's my thing. Okay. Any other sport, I really can't speak on that. So I'm not going to, but as far as, you know, youth basketball on up to, I guess elementary, middle school, of course, high school. And then when it gets really tricky is AAU and then of course college. And so, you know, from a parent's expectation, you know, it's just kind of like you would think I just want my kid to have a good time and I want them to have a good experience. And the person who is in their life, i.e. their coach or coaches, is a good role model for my son or daughter. And that's pretty much what you would think a normal expectation would be. I would say that 80% of the time that is true, but every school has them. Those parents that have these unrealistic expectations based on their child's talent level. It's like you want your child to be out here being LeBron James and they need to be pretty much on a swim team. Okay. So, you know, not hating on swimmers. So please don't take that from that. But I'm just saying, meaning they need to be in a different sport. Okay. So you guys, the expectations of parents needs to be start being more realistic and need to stop being where you're trying to live your best life through your child, live your glory days because you weren't good. So now you're going to be like, okay, my child has a little bit of talent or in my mind, they have talent. And so I'm going to live through them and I'm going to push hard for the coach to play them or this or that, you know? And as far as the kids are concerned, you know, their expectations is they want to be with their friends. That is 90% of the reason. I want to be with my friends. Then you have the, I actually love the game and I want to get better because I want to play it in college, the sport in college. And then you have the ones that my parents are forcing me to play. Okay. And those are the tough ones from a coaching perspective to deal with. Okay. But most of the time, the players just want to play. And it really stresses a kid out when the parents are in the stands going crazy. Okay. Calm down. Because you think like parents, some parents are so hard on their kids that it causes burnout to where when they finally get to college, they don't want to play anymore because it's not fun for them. Just like coaching, when it no longer is fun, you don't want to do it anymore. So just like playing, if it's not fun for me, I don't want to do it, you know? And people always talk about, you know, NBA players, WNBA players, about the amount of money that they make, but they're making money. But can you imagine making millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars doing what you love? That's fun. So when it becomes work, they retire. Or when their body can't go anymore, they retire. So that's kind of where we are with these kids. And I hate it for those kids. And you know, from a coaching perspective, like I said, what's going on at home is really what we get on the floor as a coach. Now, for myself, so you're not just thinking I'm just talking out of the side of my neck about, you know, dealing with this. I've been in the coaching world for 15 years and I'm 38 years old. Okay. I'm just 38 and I've been doing this for 15 years. So you got to think I started coaching as soon as I graduated from college. I actually still had a couple of weeks left before I graduated when I first started coaching in high school. I've coached collectively several, I would say probably about collectively 4 years in high school. I've done like a couple of AAU seasons. I'm not really a big fan of AAU, but we will definitely discuss that topic one day. I'm not a really big fan of AAU, especially now. It's too much politics involved. And then I coached at the collegiate level for 6 years in the NAIA, Division One at the time when they had divisions. And then I coached a little semi-professional basketball. And that's pretty much my background as far as coaching. So I've got the experience there. So, you know, with all that experience, that's what I meant by that. We get to see that, you know, what's going on at home, we get it on the floor. Because you got to think, if you have a kid who's being bombarded, pressured, low key for real, some parents threatening to their kids, who do you think they're going to listen to at the end of the day when they're on the floor and mommy and daddy want them to shoot an NBA three that they have no business shooting? But daddy saying, well, if you don't take those shots, then you don't get a chance to get better. But that's not what's good for the team. Who do they have to go home to? Mommy and daddy. So because they have to go home to their parents, they would rather deal with the consequences from me rather than going home having to be pretty much mentally abused, you know, by parents. And I just think it's so sad. And the main reason why is because some of these kids that is done to, they are talented. They have what it takes to make it to the next level, but they aren't coachable. A coachable kid is way more valuable than a kid with talent that is not coachable. Because you can't teach them anything. You can't tell them anything. They know everything. And most of the time, they know everything because mommy and daddy told them they know everything. And that's not the case. And with me, with kids like that, as a coach, I don't go through power struggles with children, period. Now, you're going to run into some coaches that have this weird thing about being controlled by the boosters and being controlled by the parents and the athletic director. I am not that coach at all. If you tell me you want me to coach your program, then I have free reins to coach your program. I'm not going to be run by some boosters, some parents, or athletic director that does not back me. Period. Point blank. I won't even put myself in that situation. Because coaches all the time get stuck in those situations and they feel like they have to do what they think they're supposed to do, where they get bullied into playing players just because that player's parents donates a wing to the school. I don't care if you donate the entire school. If your child is not good, they're not playing. And then if they aren't good and then don't work hard, when it is time for those players to get on the floor when we're up by a lot or losing by a lot, they won't see the floor. If you're my best player, you won't play if you are not coachable. Just that, it's really just that simple. Because we've let these kids try to run us, and I am not that type of coach. And like I said, I'm only 38, but I'm old school. Because I didn't disrespect my coaches at all. But that also comes with how you raise at home too. So I will insert that in. You know, because you got some kids go home and cuss their parents out and think they're going to do the same thing to their coaches. No, ma'am, I would run your legs off on the line. Okay? But seriously, parents, the damage that you're doing to some of these kids is really sad. And in you guys need to think about that. Because it really affects them socially too. Because, I mean, like I see it, and especially at the high school level. Now, at the college level, you don't really deal with parents like that, which is why I like to coach college basketball way more. Because at that point, you're an adult, okay? If you have an issue with your playing time, you're going to walk in the office and say, hey, coach, what do I need to get more playing time? And if you feel like you're busting your butt, hey, coach, why am I not playing? What can I do to get better? What can I do to get clocked? Those are adult conversations that you have. Even now, me, I'm a little different as far as high school coaches. I think communication is key in all relationships, professional and in my personal life. So I always tell my kids at the beginning of the year, if you have a question about why you aren't playing or about a play, please speak up. There's always a way to ask why you're not playing, but ask it in a manner that's respectful. Okay? I'm not going to disrespect you. So you're for sure not going to disrespect me. And once you set those boundaries, you can build a relationship with the kids and you can get them to buy in. But half of the time, sometimes you're getting so much pushback from the kids because you're getting pushback from the parents. And the parents just think they know everything. And in my mind, wasn't this job open prior to me applying and getting the job? So why didn't you apply? Since you know everything. Like, parents, you need to chill. Really, that's what this boils down to, okay? And, you know, to the coaches that are listening to this, the bit of advice that I can give you about parents, especially high school parents, AAU parents, because AAU parents are a different breed because they are paying for their child. Now, the reason why I don't like AAU for real, and we'll, like I said, I'll do a whole episode about it, is because it's very politic-ish. There are some kids on AAU teams that have no business being on AAU teams. Personally, myself as a parent, I would never pay for my son to play AAU if I didn't think he was talented enough to go to college. That's not me telling him, oh, you can't do whatever. No. I'm just going to save my little $1,500 in my pocket and you can play in high school for free. Okay. So, you know what I'm saying? Because it just makes no sense. Because half of the time, these kids just want to travel and play with their, you know, be with their friends all summer. But it's like, but baby, you don't belong on this team. You're not, talent-wise, you don't belong. But because these people are paying money into something, it's like politics, okay? They're paying money into it, and then they feel like their players, their kids should be playing. So I don't really like to coach AAU. Because when you are paying for something, that changes the ball game and parents act real cray. Okay. But anyway, back to what I was saying about my advice is that if you don't have a 24-hour rule in your program, get one. If your athletic director is not on board with it, talk to them and get them on board with it. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because a lot of parents, for some reason, when you hold certain positions, people feel like that is their cue to disrespect you. But at the end of the day, they don't realize that we are both human beings. I could care less at how much you make and how much I make in my regular job. I could care less the color of your skin. I could care less your gender. But we're both human beings and we're going to respect each other. But for some reason, when you're a basketball coach, especially at the high school level, parents just feel like they can just do and say whatever they want. Okay? Now, I'm going to say this. Get the 24-hour rule. And the reason why I use the 24-hour rule is this, and to kind of explain it. Me personally, I know me. Okay. Most of the time, I don't know my parents. I know that a lot of people might look at that and think, well, you probably should get to know the parents more. And no, I disagree with that. I'm coaching your kids. That's who I need to build that respect and trust and bond with. They need to know from me that I've got your back. No matter what your parents are saying, just know I've got your back. Okay? And that's where you're going to build that trust. Okay? So I don't too much deal with parents. I mean, I just don't. And 9 times out of 10, if I am dealing with a parent, it's in a negative way. Because I'm cordial with parents. I don't want you to think I just walk by parents and don't speak to them. No, it's not like that. But some coaches get real chummy and friendly and have drinks with parents. That is no, absolutely not. That is not me. And I'm really in my professional and personal life are very separate things. I've always operated like that. People think it's, well, you're secretive. It's not that I'm secretive, is you this is a professional relationship. And then this is a personal relationship. They're two different things. And most of the time, the parents come off as fake because when you're winning, you're their best friend. Don't lose a game. Don't lose a game because you're going to be their worst enemy. You see what I'm saying? And those are not relationships that I want in my private life. So back to the 24-hour rule. So basically, what the rule is there for me personally, is because as a human being, as an individual, excuse me, as an individual, I am a very introverted, laid back person. Now, if you come up to me, strike up a conversation, yeah, I can carry a conversation with the best of them. But like me just coming up out of nowhere and starting a conversation, that's not me. That's not my personality. I am very introverted. Now, when it comes to coaching, there is some form of a switch in me that flips. And it's like Hyde and Jekyll. And I am focused and I am loud and I get my point across. I'm just two totally different people when I coach. And I'm very, very passionate about the game of basketball. I coach the game because I love the game. I mean, I absolutely love it. You know, when I step on the floor as a coach, in my mind, I can't expect my kids to give me 110% if I don't give them 110%. And that, I feel like actions speak a lot louder than words with that, because I've said before in one of our other episodes, is about being prepared. I'm prepared every game, any level, don't care. I'm going to scout the team that I'm playing, and I'm going to have some personnel for them. And we're going to know who their best players are, who their best scorers are. We're going to know some of their plays. We're going to be prepared every game. I don't care if my team that I'm coaching is absolutely garbage. We're going to be ready. Now, we might not be able to stop a thing that I just put in that scouting report, but we're going to know it. We're going to know it. And we're going to be prepared. And as a player, you're going to give me 110% or you won't play for me. You can't play for me. And as a coach, you're going to see that I give you 110%. So, like if I'm standing, if I'm the entire one of the things that I do is I don't care if I'm up by 50 or I'm down by 50. I never sit down on my team. I think that's the worst thing a coach can do. Now, there are some older coaches and even some younger coaches that stay seated the whole game. That's their preference. That's fine. I'm not saying that something's wrong with that. But for me personally, I'm standing up. And I'm talking the entire game to my team. I'm picking you up. I'm encouraging you. And when you do something wrong, yes, I'm yelling at you. But you would never come out the game and never know what you did wrong. You did not know. Because a lot of times coaches will snatch you out and you have no idea what you did wrong. You go back in and do the same thing, get snatched out again. You know, and you got to think, like some high school kids, their basketball IQ is horrible. Okay. They're just there to show up and play because they like the game, but their IQ is terrible. And so they have no idea why they are continuing to come out. So it's your job as a coach and your job to have your staff as assistant coaches to tell these kids, you know what, girl, box out. You keep giving up the same rebound over and over because you're standing straight up trying to box out. Drop your hips, push them back, and go get the rebound. You know what I'm saying? Like you need to give them some instruction. And so I feel like being prepared. And I stand up the whole game. I never sit down on my team. I'm giving you 110%. You give me 110%. So the game, I'm passionate about it. Okay. So in the event that we lose, I hate losing. I am a competitive person. I don't like to lose. Period, point blank. Not there's nobody that likes to lose in this world, but there are some people that are competitive and hate losing and handle it way different. Now, I'm not a sore loser, but I hate losing. Okay. But so after a game we have lost, this and you want to come up and talk to me about why your child didn't play? That's why the 24-hour rule is there. Because I am a very chill person. But if you catch me on the wrong day, I don't smile all the time, okay? Because people are always like, you smile all the time. I don't smile all the time, okay? So that's why the 24-hour rule is there. After a game, any game, win or loss, it doesn't matter. We don't, put stipulations. Well, if we lose, there's a 24-hour rule. No. Because believe it or not, parents are, that's when they're really mad, is when you win and their kid didn't play that much, especially in a close game. And it's like, well, what was little Sarah going to get in there and do? What was she going to do? What if the ball came to her, what was she going to do with 1 second left on the clock? Throw it away. That's why she was on the bench. And my delivery would be poor because I would think that that was so selfish for you to try to come talk to me about why your kid didn't play and we just had a great team win. That's selfish. I'm probably going to clown you and the conversation is going to go left. We lose, your kid doesn't play, or you didn't like something that I did in the game because parents come up with all kinds of stuff they don't like. And you come off hot right after the game and we just lost. That conversation is not going to go well. It's going to go left. So the point of the 24 hours is for both parties to calm down. Okay, really for the parent to calm down and for me to calm down from the loss I just took or come down from the high of my win, so I can actually put myself in a space to be like, okay. And for me with parents, I'm not always right. Okay? I'm not always right. And I have that's sometimes that is a lot of the problems with parents and coaches where they kind of fall out with each other is that everybody has to be right. And I am definitely not that type of coach, and I love to learn, and I learn every single day that I step on a basketball floor. And just to kind of go off on a tangent really quickly, I'm gonna give you guys an example of what I meant by that. So I had a girl on one of the teams that I was coaching, and the team was horrible to say the least. They weren't very good. They hadn't had any type of conditioning program prior to me getting there. It was just a lot. And it was like a little private school. But there was one kid on the team that clearly did not belong on the team. She was very, very good. But they, her parents wanted her to stay kind of in a Christian atmosphere with the school. So that's why she was there. But I had to coach that team a certain way by giving them like, almost like not to call, I'm not calling them dumb, so don't think that I'm saying that, but like you kind of have to dumb it down, keep it simple. Like quick hitters and things like that. You can't do too many screens and rolls, you can't make it too complex for them. And I had to do a lot of directing during the game, swing the ball, go screen, like you just had, I just had to be very hands-on with that team. But like I said, one of them belong, one of those players did not belong. And her dad sent me a text message one day and was like, hey, can we go to Starbucks? And, there were some other things that were going on, but we talked about that. And then we started talking about his daughter. And then this is where, as a coach, you're either going to grow and learn or be petty and just be the same old regular schmegler coach. I grew as a coach that year because of that conversation. And basically what he was saying was, he'd been taking her, to camp since she was a little kid, taking, she's played everywhere. And, he was like, I know my daughter. And pretty much the how you're coaching the entire team is not effective for just her. And I want her to get better. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I want her to get better under you. And so I was like, okay. And then he kind of told me some things like, when you're trying to direct her to one side, pretty much the way that I was coaching her was making her robotic. And I got that. And so then I started to coach her differently. And then I could see how she was more relaxed. she was taking better shots and she was just playing her game and she didn't feel so robotic and you have to go here, you have to go there, then go there, over there, you know, because she wasn't that type of player. She was, her IQ for her age was out of this world and her talent out of this world. I mean, she's one of the, easily one of the top basketball players in the state of Kentucky right now. And she's going to have a great career. But from that year, I learned some things. And you learned, basically, I grew as a coach because that, you know, you got to mature as a coach, mature as a person to sit down and take advice from somebody else who isn't a coach. You know what I'm saying? But it was his approach. It was his delivery. And sometimes parents may have valid arguments, valid advice, but it's how they try to convey it. It's either too aggressive. It's either too aggressive or they just don't know how to form the words. But when you just take a step back and give yourself a chance to breathe after that little 24 hours, then you can come together and have a constructive conversation that may involve some criticism, but you're open to said criticism. And I just wanted to give that an example because I'm telling you, coaches, if you're listening, it definitely will help you grow as a coach if you're open to suggestions and you're not stubborn and bullheaded and just think your way or the highway. Because I think that she played well after that. And she actually ended up leaving the next year, which I thought that was the very best move for her to go to a school where she could actually thrive. Because when your kids get stuck in programs where the talent isn't very great and then they get to the next level, it's like a deer in a headlight because one, your practices are different. You can't even practice at an elite level because of it's just not them. You know, they just can't do it. And so when you get to college or different programs, it's like, whew, this practice moves away a lot faster. We're doing a whole lot more. And when you just came from a program that has to keep it simple, you see what I'm saying? So I think that worked wonders for her. And she, like I said, she is thriving right now in the state of Kentucky. Well, there you have it. Parents, I just wanted to end with, you know, just saying, you know, just let your kids have a good time. Give the coaches a break. You know, even coaches that have no idea what they're doing, just let your kids have fun and make it about them and not about you. And I just wanted to say, everybody, you have a great weekend. Those of you in Houston, Texas, or Texas in general that are listening, I just want to send my prayers to you guys and just continue to stay as warm as you can and stay safe. And like I said, everybody else, you have a great weekend. And today is the opportunity to build the tomorrow that you want.